Blog Talk Radio.
My position is that if I'm not going to be productive,
then I don't want to just live to be living. That's not going to work for me, if I'm misshapen due to disease or that sort of thing, or I look, wizened, I wouldn't want to, I wouldn't, that wouldn't, I wouldn't be happy like that. So even though I'm older, the only thing that marks my age at this juncture that I haven't, like a lot of guys, I have tons of friends that dye their hair and that sort of thing, beards, mustache, goatees, whatever you have, or they cut them off completely. So you never know that they had gray hair. I have tons and tons and tons of friends like this because we're all contemporaries. And I've never done it. One, I'm hyperallergenic, so even if I wanted to use dye, man, I'm like, oh my God, it's like torment, torture. I'm itching and scratching, and oh, it's just awful. And then the other thing that I thought, I'm very health conscious without being, just like I'm very religious without being, very spiritual without being religious. And you could be both, but they're not mutually exclusive. So I have a friend that's a funeral director, good buddy of mine, And he says oftentimes when he's preparing a body for viewing, for a funeral, and the person is older and has used dye in their hair and that sort of thing, it dyes the scalp. And I never thought about that. I mean, it's just, it's obvious. It's something that should be, it's going to dye your scalp, but it dyes your scalp. And so, that means that whatever chemicals, they're using in the dye are getting into your bloodstream via the capillaries in your scalp. So you're slowly poisoning yourself by using dye. Now, it doesn't look great. Don't get it twisted. I have as much vanity as the next person. So I'm not happy with walking around with white hair. And feel young, is like being, how you hear some segments of the community saying they were born in the wrong body and that sort of thing. Well, I feel the same way for a different reason. I feel that, I'm a young man in an old man's body, and I'm not going to let the body deteriorate, just because it's, entering, a certain decade in its travels, in its journey, doesn't mean that I'm going to let it look like that. And I don't. I really don't. And I'm taking affirmative steps to ensure that, I get very, very close to how I look when I was 19 or 20. And it's not impossible. It takes much more discipline than you had, because you're sedentary. Most of us are. Most of us aren't as active as we are or were as teens, because I didn't drive as a teenager. I walked everywhere. So I don't get that degree of exercise where I'm walking, 10, 15, 20 miles a week, if not more. And, as a consequence, your fat stores start to build up, and you start to get love handles, and your muscles and your legs atrophy already, and naturally skinny legs. So, if the muscles atrophy, they look like pipes. So, things like that you can address. And I was talking to a group on Facebook about this today. We talk about a lot of issues that are of input to black men generally. So we run the gamut of topics that we explore, and we have guys that are, high school dropouts to guys with earned doctorates, in the group. So it's a great mix, a composite of our community. And there are guys my age and older. And we talk extensively about one guy is the guy that's older than me, actually, is a triathlete, and I don't know that I want to go to that extreme, but, at some point, who knows, who actually knows? Because I like swimming. It's much better on load-bearing joints. It's much more comfortable, on your load-bearing joints. So, You know, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going. I just, you know, on this journey, I just know where I want to end up at. So it's tough, but I've always been a disciplined guy. So, you know, I feel that if I, you know, stay in prayer, meditation, and, you know, doing what I'm doing on this personal journey, man, I should get there. Well, we had a fiery start to last week. They started with the public part of the impeachment hearings, and par for course, Chump the Brain Dead Comic, Carnival Bark, a.k.a. Clueless Clown, decided to attack the Ambassador Yovanovitch, who was testifying to her experience. So the Republicans basically have no defense. I mean, they know that the guy did what he did, and by the guy, I mean, you know, 45. So all they can do is discredit the witnesses. That's their only course of action. Our problem as progressives, I'm not a Democrat, neither a Democrat nor a Republican. I am, however, a progressive and a member of the Working Families Party. I have always been since that party started about, I would say, 15 years ago now. They are almost on their 20th anniversary, or if not on their 20th anniversary. What we progressives want to see is 20 Republican senators join with the majority. The only one that's going to vote in the Democrats is going to vote with the Republicans. It's going to be Manchin out of West Virginia. He is definitely a Dino. And I believe that's why he has no committee assignments, because we, you know, the Democratic leadership doesn't trust him, and they shouldn't. You know, he should go on and register, re-register as a Republican, which is what he is, albeit a moderate Republican he is, you know, but he's a Republican nonetheless, and he should at least have the courage of his conviction and vote in caucus with that party. But if we can get 20 Republican senators, we can get rid of Trump, because it is not a slam dunk. And now with Deval Patrick, former governor of Massachusetts, in the race, and Bloomberg, who we hope doesn't get in, and there is even rumor that Hillary Clinton might jump back in. I hope not, you know, for a lot of reasons. I believe that we have really good candidates. And I'm, you know, listen, I'm going to vote for whoever the nominee is, whether it's Joe Biden or Pete Buttigieg, or who has been rising in the polls. The problem with him is, and I went online, I was responding to a tweet by a well-known black, gay black columnist, and he was gushing over how Buttigieg, his fame was rising, and, you know, and that is true. The problem is that with Buttigieg, is that as a gay black man, I mean gay black man, gay white man, he is not going anywhere past Iowa. Once we get, and I don't even know about Iowa, but Iowa, I guess, for West, is not even Midwest. Iowa is the West. But the issue is that once Buttigieg gets into the South, you know, especially South Carolina, I believe, this is just my estimation, I'm not a political pundit, that his campaign will come to a screeching halt, because there's no way those those Negroes down there, elderly black folks, are going to vote for a man married to a man. They just are not going to do it, man. These are very conservative black folks down there. My brother grew up in the South, and he loves the South. I can't stay in the South more than... I'm in the South. Don't get it twisted. I really am. Today, I'm at my spot on the Eastern Shore. But I couldn't go any further than this, the Upper South. I couldn't go any further than this, and definitely could not live in the Lower South, because I couldn't tolerate the racism, overt, you know. And I'm not saying covert racism is good, you know, implicit bias and that sort of. I've experienced all of it, racism in all its forms, and it's all ugly. But I'm saying that I am not prepared to deal with overt racism where somebody's calling me, and you know, the N-word in my face and that sort of thing. Because I have my reputation and my character to deal with, and going to jail is at odds with where I want to be professionally in my life at my age, and you know, there's a tremendous possibility that's what happened if I got confronted by a redneck down there and they decided to confront me for whatever reason, you know, or attempt to pull a weapon on me or something like that, you know, then it would be game over, because I'm not going to be a victim of a lynching or anything like that. So anyway, that's where we are with that. So the hearings are supposed to be ongoing today, but I just looked at television. I don't know what happened last week, because Tiffany Cross, we were talking about her this morning in that group. She was saying much the same thing I was saying, that last week, I don't know what happened, but there was a long break between testimony to Ambassador Jovovich. Can't pronounce her name right, and I apologize. But I kept coming back to make sure that I wasn't missing it, and I have sporadic coverage out here. I don't have cable. So what happened was, and forgive me if the intro comes back on, because this, I touched the board accidentally. I'll get it off in a second. I can't hear it on my end, but if you do on your end, forgive me. As a matter of fact, let me take a break, and we'll come back at the middle, but I just want to make sure that I'm not getting any interference I can't hear.
That these oil reserves are enormous, and I was
saying to the person that posted it, it didn't come from, like I said, it didn't come from a reliable source. And I have read nothing in the mainstream media, because a lot of these mainstream media has gotten very, very careful about their content. So what happens is, you have to excuse me, I was watching something on television or whatnot. It's really humorous. Threw my train of thought off. So at any rate, a lot of the mainstream media, especially the broadsheets, have gotten wise to how people have managed to circumvent their subscription policies. And of course, you know, they have reporters, and they need to be able to pay people, and, you know, pay their overhead and that sort of thing. So, and I respect that, I really do. But I was like, so I don't really, you know, you get to, New York Times gives you 3 free articles per month. The Wall Street Journal, you get none. USA Today, you could read it. I believe now you don't have any problem accessing the site. Baltimore Sun, you can't access. Chicago Tribune, I'm not sure about. I don't go on that site enough. I'm going to check it out and see, however. Los Angeles Times, I really don't deal with that. San Jose Mercury, which is an excellent, excellent paper. Gary Webb, we talk about him often, was killed under mysterious circumstances after he reported about the cocaine the CIA allowed to get into Los Angeles. You know, remember the freeway and all those guys, and it was just a mess, and that story went away after they killed him. So at any rate, that's where we are. So I'm following the guy. I'm trying to follow the Ghana story, and if I can follow, you know, it's gonna result in a lot of civil unrest and political turmoil, enough people in that country, because, you know, what's going to happen eventually is the multinationals are going to come in, and they're going to co-opt the political leadership, because they don't want to share the wealth, and that's what's going to happen. And I'm not saying that the Ghanaians are stupid people. I'm just saying money talks, and it's unfortunate, and greed and avarice, you know, rules the day. If that weren't the case, then you would see other countries in Africa that are mineral rich, like the Congo. There's a lot of countries that are called the Congo, at least 3. So when I say the Congo, let's just, you know, not out of disrespect to Africa or to the Congo or the Democratic Republic of the Congo, but just let's just say the 3 countries that comprise that area, Central Africa, because that's where it is, Central Africa, which is the most mineral-rich area in the world. I mean, diamonds, bauxite, butite, I mean, you name it, they have it. Let me put it that way, instead of trying to, you know, go into my geology bag. And those countries are some of the poorest countries on the face of the earth. And you have to wonder, what the heck, how can they be the poorest countries on the earth and they have all these mineral resources? Well, I just explained it to you. Because these multinational corporations are mainly based in Europe and some of the United States, you know, with Belgium, you know, King Leopold, remember him? He did more damage to the Africans than you know, the planters, slavers did to, you know, almost to American blacks, you know, when they enslaved us, or an equal amount, let me put it that way, because you can't really compare, or you don't want to compare how brutal, you know, a specific people or regime has been towards another people. And this is what I fear for Ghana. You know, I fear that, you know, instead of this being a boon for that country, it's going to be a curse, because they're going to follow the same Time One playbook, which is to create instability and unrest that we don't see. We don't see that in Ghana and Accra. Accra is the main city. It's right on the coast. That's why you only hear about Accra. But Ghana is a big country, and it has many, many cities. Most of those cities are in the interior of the country. And me personally, I've never liked to live in an interior anywhere. That's why I've never moved to the central part of the country, even though I like Kansas City a lot. And if I did, that's probably where I would go. But I need to be near the water, which is why I would say I would stay either on the East Coast or the extreme West Coast. And I'm not a West Coast person. I have never been there in my life. I've been very close. A few hours from there by car, but I've never actually, made the trip. So that's basically what's going to happen. So we're going to follow the story and see what happens because it's very intriguing if true. And like I said, I haven't vetted the story, so I'm not certain that it's even true. This is just something that popped up on a feed. It came from an unreliable source, not primary source. You know, like, you know, if you're getting something from the New York Times or the LA Times, Baltimore Sun, Washington Post, New York, Wall Street Journal, that's something you can basically read. Oh, and this is the other thing I want to say. Sometimes you can get Wall Street Journal articles. I don't know how it's possible, but sometimes, you know, they provide a link, and you can click on the link, the hyperlink, and go right to the story. So, you know, but most time you cannot. So that's where I'm at with that. We're going to follow. I don't know what's going on because I've been checking, and the hearings aren't back on. But this is historic, and, though I'm aging myself, I do remember the Watergate hearings. I was in middle school. Admittedly, I wasn't in high school or even middle school. I mean, junior high. I was in middle school, and I remember the teacher wheeling out to the big, rear projection television. You know, at the time it had to be, about 26 inches, which was a really respectable size television at the time. With a VCR attached or, Betamax, I'm not really sure which format. I believe they were still fighting, for domination at the time. And we would sit there and watch the boring hearings. And obviously, I didn't understand what was going on, but I listened because it was historic. And these hearings are historic, so we're going to see what happens and follow it closely because, I think at the end of the day, and this is what I want to say before I close this show, what progressives fear most, and this is a very, very real possibility, is that we impeach Chump the Brain Dead comic Connor Barker. He doesn't get convicted in the Senate and wins re-election. The country as we know it would be over. Trust me, it is not hyperbole. It would literally be over. And we're going to talk more about this in the coming weeks. Enjoy the rest of our co-hosts on Marketing Pulpit International right here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great day and a blessed day.